All right, look in your Bibles, the book of Psalms. Sure enjoyed all the singing tonight. I appreciate that so very much. I appreciate these folk of being willing to sing for us in the service. What a blessing that is to our hearts tonight. Psalm 22 tonight, and we're going to try to finish up our study here in Psalm 22 tonight. As the Lord's been directing our heart, been feeding us in this psalm, we want to try to finish it up. Now, I thought about this as I studied. I really could get bogged down in these latter verses, but I'm just going to hit some highlights and we'll be done with it, move on to the next psalm. But I sure do appreciate the Lord helping us. Amen. We've been looking into Psalm 22. If you will and able, stand tonight. Psalm 22, and I'll begin reading in verse 22. Psalm 22 and beginning in verse 22. The Bible said, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Ye that fear the Lord, praise him. All ye the seed of Jacob, glorify him. And fear him, all ye the seed of Israel. He hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted. Neither hath he hid his face from him. But when he cried unto him, he heard. My praise shall be of thee in the great congregation. I will pay my vows before them that fear him. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord. And all the kindred of the nation shall worship before thee. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the governor among the nations. All they that be fat upon earth shall eat and worship. All they that go down to the dust shall bow before him, and none can keep alive his own soul. A seed shall serve him. It shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. They shall come and shall declare his righteous unto a people that shall be born that he hath done this. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you tonight for the reading of the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to stand and to preach your Word. I pray tonight, Lord, just strengthen my voice and my body. Give me a traveling mind through the Scriptures and give your people a hearing ear and to hear what the Spirit has to say to us tonight by the Word of God. Help us, I pray, to glorify you in all we say and do. Save the lost. Help your people. May you be exalted and glorified, and we'll praise you and we'll thank you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. We've been preaching, as we said, through this psalm, Psalm 22, been looking at Christ, our sacrifice. And we mentioned the psalm divided in two sections, the gloom in verse 1 through 21. And through that, we saw Christ in his cries and Christ in the crowd and Christ in the cross. And then we began looking at the glory that's found in verse 22 through verse 31. We've already looked at verse 22 through 25 at the resurrection of the Savior. And as I said last Sunday, every Sunday is a celebration of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen. And so we talked about the resurrection of the Savior. Then in verse 26, we talked about the regeneration of the sinner. I'm glad that he saves the lost. Amen. He said there in that verse, the meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever. I'm glad that Jesus Christ saves from sin. But tonight I'm interested, as we said, and we'll finish it up in verse 27 down through verse 31, and look at the thought of the reign of the Savior. For we find that these verses are pointing to the day that Jesus Christ will rule and reign on planet Earth. Now, let me say this, and I'm not being arrogant, not being mean, but I am, and we are as a church, a pre-tribulation rapture church and a premillennial view of the millennial reign of Christ. Amen. The church is not going to usher in the millennium. The world's not going to get so good that the kingdom will start. That's not the teaching of the Bible. But friend, the next event on God's calendar is the rapture of the church. And we that are saved are getting out of here. Amen. And then the world goes into 7 years of tribulation. At the end of that 7 years, we are coming back with Christ and we'll rule and reign 1,000 years on planet Earth. Now you say, preacher, I don't believe that. Well, you're just going to have to get in line with the Bible, because the Bible teaches that. We don't spiritualize the 1,000 years. Amen. We don't spiritualize the kingdom of God. By the way, when Jesus gave the model prayer, in that model prayer said to pray, thy kingdom come. He is wanting us to yearn and long for the day when Christ will rule and reign on the earth. I'll say this, it'll be the first time since Adam and Eve sinned that this world will be run right. Amen. I got looking at these verses tonight as we see the reign of the Savior. Well, let me say first tonight, you don't have a reign, you got to have a king. And the king is Jesus Christ. Amen. The Bible said in verse 27, 28 of our text, all the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord. Verse 28, for the kingdom is the Lord's and he is the governor among the nations. I want you to look with me in Revelation 19 just a minute. Follow along with me if you will. I'm not going to preach too fast. I want to get this to us, get it in our heart. Revelation 19 and beginning at verse 11 tonight. The Bible said, I saw heaven open and behold a white horse and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which are in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh name written, a King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We are speaking about Jesus Christ. He is the King tonight. Hey, by the way, we don't make him king. Nobody's made him king. Somebody said, can't wait till we get to heaven and make him king. Oh, he's king already. When we get to heaven, we're just going to make much of the king. Amen. Hey, Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords tonight. Oh, I began thinking as I studied this about him being the king. Can I say to you, indeed the king is coming. Amen. There'll be no election. Amen. You won't buy votes. You won't have the dead voting. Amen. There'll be nobody that can oppose this. The king is coming to the earth one day. Amen. Oh, friend, we find that Jesus is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Let me just throw this out. As I thought about this today in this text, it talked about him there in verse 13. It says, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Hey, there's a crowd that don't believe Jesus is God. When you go to John chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And down in verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Hey, there's a crowd don't want to believe it. Well, here he is again. Amen. Hey, I'm glad to report to you the King's alive and well. Now, I love to listen to radio preachers, some of them in particular. I enjoy hearing Dr. J. Harold Smith preach. Though he's dead, yet speaketh, because they're still playing his messages on radio. And I was looking some things up several months ago, and I ran across an interesting message by Dr. J. Harold Smith. It was from August 1977. And he preached on this subject. My king is not dead. Why'd he do that, preacher? Elvis Presley died that month, and they said the words headline, "The King is dead." Dr. J. Harold Smith wanted the world to know how the King's not dead. He's not sick. He's not weary. He's not giving up, but he's still Lord, and he's still King. He is King of Kings, and he is Lord of Lords tonight. Hey, the King is coming. Amen. Hey, let me say this as we think about his coming. We preach often about the second coming. Now, the second coming is really in two parts. There is the rapture, and then there is the revelation. The rapture is what we talked about just a moment ago. The Lord descending from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. 1 Thessalonians 4 very well shows us the rapture of the church. You see, in the rapture, he comes in the air. In the revelation, he'll come back to the earth planet. Amen. Hey, in the rapture, listen to me, he's coming for his saints. But in the revelation, he's coming with his saints. Amen. There's 7 years between these events. I'm telling you, though, when he comes back to this earth planet, we're coming with him riding on white horses. Amen. I'm a white horse rider. I don't care much about riding horses right now. Close as I get to one, better be that little thing out in front of Walmart. Amen. But one day we're going to mount up on some white horses and coming back with Jesus Christ out to rule and reign. Amen. Oh, friend, the King's coming. The King's got a crown. Matter of fact, many crowns. He's a governor of the nations, among the nations in Psalm 22:28. But he said there in Revelation 19 and verse 12, the latter part, and on his head were many crowns. Hey, he's got a crown because he is the King. Amen. Hey, the King's coming. Hey, I will ask you this. Are you ready for the rapture? If you're rapture ready, you don't have to worry about anything else. Amen. But if you're not saved, you're headed for days the world has never seen before in the tribulation period. Amen. So that we talk about the reign of the Savior, therefore we know there's a King. But then let me say, secondly, as we think about the reign of the Savior, there's the kingdom. Now, look with me back at Psalm 22 just a minute. And verse 27 and verse 28 again. The Bible said, all the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord, and all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before thee. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the governor among the nations. Now, in Revelation chapter 20 and verse number 6, here's what the Bible says there. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such a second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. There will be a kingdom on the earth. There will be. Now, let me say this, some things about the kingdom just a minute. I'm about done, but hang with me. I'm trying to really whet your appetite where you'll want to study more about the millennial reign of Christ. The whole world is going to be under this kingdom. Amen. It's not just the Jews. It's not just the Middle East. But it's all nations. For the Bible said in verse 27, all the ends of the world and all kindred of the nations. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, it said in governor, and he is the governor among the nations. He is going to rule this world one day. It's going to happen. Let me read you some verses here. Because I believe in the given Bible, don't you? I believe the Bible. Well, the Bible said in Daniel chapter 2 and verse 44, and in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Then look in your Bibles, book of Zechariah. Man, let me encourage you to read this book of Zechariah. You will learn something about the tribulation days and the end of the tribulation and then the millennial reign of Christ. Read and study the book of Zechariah. in Zechariah chapter 14. Listen to what the Bible says here. Zechariah chapter 14, verse 9. If you ain't sure where that is, go in the middle of your Bible, find Malachi in one book back. Amen. It pays to know where your Bible books are. Amen. Zechariah chapter 14, verse 9. It says this, and the Lord shall be king over all the earth. And in that day, shall there be one Lord, and his name what? He is going to be king over all the earth. I'm saying again, the world's got no vote in this. That's right. He is coming to take over. And all the world, every nation. Hey, let me remind you this. Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 9. Wherefore God hath also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Verse 10. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Amen. Of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Hey, everybody, whether they like it or not, are going to bow before the Lord Jesus. Amen. They cuss him tonight. They hate him tonight. But there's coming a day they'll have to bow before him and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Oh, friend, tonight, the whole world is going to have to bow. Revelation 19 and verse 15. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. He's going to rule with a rod of iron. That means you're not getting by with nothing. Amen. There's some interesting thing now. The little that most folk know about the millennium is the lamb lying down with the lion and the curse being lifted. And that's so. But friend, holiness is going to circle the globe. And anybody that opposes or don't likes it is judged automatically. That's right. You say, I didn't know that. Yes, study your Bible. There's a lot takes place in this world, I'm telling you, is going to finally have to get in line. Amen. We live in a world of lawlessness. You say, you keep bringing that up because that describes where we're at. You're not telling me what to do. That's what the world says. And by the way, that's what some church folks say. Amen. But there's coming a day. Amen. That everybody will have to get in line and serve the Lord God of heaven. Amen. Oh, friend, listen to me. We find that there is the whole world is going to be his kingdom. But there's also worship involved in this kingdom. They're going to worship the Lord. Look back in Zechariah again. Zechariah chapter 14 again. And beginning in verse number 16. Now, the world will have to worship him. Now, there's some interesting verses I'm going to read. Probably some of you have never read, but we're talking about when Christ reigns on the earth in this text. Zechariah chapter 14 and beginning in verse 16. The Bible says, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem. Now, listen, we're finding the end of the tribulation period. Christ has come back. We're with him. And he says this, shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. It shall be that whoso will not come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain. And if the family of Egypt go not up and come not, they have no rain. There shall be the plague wherewith the Lord I will smite the heathen that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. This shall be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment kinsmen of all nations that come not out to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. In that day shall there be upon the bells of the horses holiness unto the Lord, and the pots in the Lord's house shall be like the bowls before the altar. Yea, every pot in Jerusalem and in Judah shall be holiness unto the Lord of hosts, and all they that sacrifice shall come and take them and see therein. And in that day there shall be no more the Canaanite in the house of the Lord of hosts. We find that worship is mandatory in the kingdom. They'll have choice. Now, right now, sure, people have a choice. They can go to church. They don't got to go to church. You got a choice to get saved or don't get saved. But in the kingdom, you have to worship. And if you don't, judgment comes. Now, I know some of you look at me like Captain Newgate. I read you the Bible. What do you good? Go read it yourself. Amen. I'm not preaching a strange thing. I'm not preaching a new thing. I'm preaching the Bible like it's always been. Amen. I'm glad to know this, that I'll rule and reign with him. Amen. Hey, there's a lot about money maybe I don't understand, but I know enough that I know it's going to happen. Amen. Hey, it is good to be on the side that's already won. Amen. That's right. Friend, he's going to reign. He is going to, my friend, rule and reign on this earth one day. The Bible again in our psalm, it said, all the ends of the world shall remember and turn in the Lord, and all the kindred of the nation shall worship before thee. Oh, friend, tonight, here's the question. Are you saved? Will you be a part of the crowd that reigns with him? Hey, if you're saved, you are. Now, again, there could be someone in here who says, preacher, I don't believe that. I'm an all-millennialist. And if you wonder what all-millennialist is, they don't believe in a millennium. They don't believe in a literal thousand-year reign. Well, I'm a pre-millennialist. I do believe because that's what the Bible teaches. You say, preacher, I'm not be so dogmatic. Why? Amen. When the Bible says it. He didn't say like as it were. He didn't say that. He declared there'll be a thousand-year reign that will take place. Amen. It's good being a Bible believer. Amen. You have something to stand on and something to shout about. Amen. Even on a rainy day, you can shout on it. Amen. Hey, we find the glory of Psalm 22. Hey, that gloom in the first part of his death, the awfulness of the cross, but that's why he can resurrect, and that's why sinners can be regenerated, and that's why he can reign one day. He did everything he said he would. Amen. Hey, you can believe the word of God. You can live by it. You can build your life on it. You can die by it tonight. Amen. Oh, friend, I'm glad. I'm glad how this thing's going to end. Someone say it like this, and I'm about done. They said, I've read the back of the book, and we win. Amen. I'm bad for that, and I read a novel. I do read novels every now and then. I read something like a little, some kind of fiction. Well, I mean, once in a while, I've always been bad, boys, after about a few chapters and everybody's in trouble and you wonder if they're going to make it. I'll just go back toward the end of the book and say, let's find out really who all survives. Amen. Well, friend, I've done read the back of the book. Amen. We are victorious. Amen. We're not trying to get victory. Did you hear me? We're not trying to get victory. We have victory in Jesus Christ tonight. Amen. The color preacher said this years ago, when the smoke all clears, it'd be me and Jesus. Amen. And aren't you glad that's the case for you? Amen. May the Lord help us as we go on and study these psalms. But I believe all my heart in these several weeks, boy, God's made Calvary more real to us and remind us of some great truths. Because of Calvary, there's some benefits. Amen. And I'm glad of that. Father, take the message now, seal it to our hearts. Help us to bring honor and glory to your name each and every day. Lord, thank you for how you've thrilled us in this psalm. Lord, may we hide it in our heart. May we just meditate upon it daily. Oh, Lord, we thank you for it. Now, Lord, if there's one here tonight does not know you as Lord and Savior, may this be the night and the place they'd run to you, repent, and be saved. Have your way now in the invitation time, and we'll thank you. Heads bowed and eyes closed just a moment. I've tried my best to preach to you. what the Lord laid on my heart tonight. I'm asking you again, are you saved? Do you know beyond shadow of a doubt you're ready to meet God if Jesus comes tonight? If not, it can be settled. And by the way, sometimes Christians get a little unnerved when you ask the question still, and we shouldn't, but they do. A lot of time the reason it's that way, they're not walking with the Lord like they should. They're not in the Word of God like they should. They're not spending time in the prayer place like they should. But oh, friend, it's good to know deep in my heart I'm ready to meet the Lord. It's good to know that we'll rule and reign with Him one day. But is there someone here tonight say, preacher, I'm lost. Remember me in prayer and you to lift a hand. Preacher, I'm lost. Anybody in the building being willing to admit that tonight, I'm lost. Can I encourage you, child of God? Some of you are fighting some hard things, going to the dark places. Can I just remind you that victory is ours? That it's going to be all right. We're really going to make it. Hallelujah. Let's stand tonight. While there's a verse of invitation. If you need to come pray, maybe you're carrying a heavy load, come talk to the Lord. Maybe you're burdened by somebody lost, come pray for them. And if you're not saved, boy, we'd love to take the Bible and show you how to be saved tonight. Be the thrill of our heart, see you birthed in the family of God. While we have a verse of invitation, this altar's open. Will you come?